and that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In Jesus is the hope, Lord of the world. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for those that do not know you as God and know Christ as Lord, this day would behold the Lamb and they would believe on him who is able to take away men's sins. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would open up the word to us and that you would speak to us, Lord, and that you would show us the way to the Saviour. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're thinking about Christ's birth, but this passage goes forward about 30-odd years from the birth of Jesus Christ, because Jesus was essentially born for what John declared. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. The birth of Jesus, his name in fact, was to be called Jesus, for he will take his people's sins away. For he shall save his people from their sins. And so the Bible ultimately climaxes in this very truth. Now John was a man sent by God, a prophet of God, to bear witness of Christ, who was the light of the world. And he was to testify and be, as it were, a voice. He says it this way. He says, I am not the Christ. And they said, well, who are you? And he says, well, I am just the voice. A voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. And John essentially was saying that he was not the Christ. He was not the one to whom men should behold. But he was to point them to the one that he was speaking of. The one whom he was sent to prepare the way for. And so we want to look at this passage of scripture, recognizing and understanding that we must see what John said. We must see the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So John was a preparing voice. And in verse 29, it says, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, the Lamb of God is an interesting title for Jesus Christ, but it's very, very much rooted in the Jewish mind. It's very much Jewish indeed, because lambs had more understanding. There's more understanding of what a lamb meant, the significance of a lamb in the Jewish history and in the Old Testament, which the Gentiles perhaps would not have known concerning. And so when John refers to Jesus here as the Lamb of God, it was an understanding, and it was daily a reality, that there was animal sacrifices in the temple in the morning and in the evening. They offered up a lamb. And so that would be a common thing that the Jewish people would understand, that there was sacrifices day by day that were happening, and there was a lamb that was slain day in the morning and in the evening for the people of Israel. But as Tom read to us also, that there was a yearly feast that the Jews held, which was so important to them, and it was the feast of the Passover. And that is the day in which they would also slay a lamb, but they would remember that the God who had called them was delivering them out of bondage, delivering them out of Egypt, and calling him as a people unto himself, where he would make a covenant with them and establish his relationship with them. But also there's another thing that could have been wandering through the Jewish mind when this statement was made, and that is also a reference to the Messiah. In Isaiah 53, it talks about the Messiah being one as a lamb that was going to the slaughter, one that would be a lamb that would be slain for the sins of his people. And so all these things, we don't know particularly what have maybe going on in the people's mind, but we know for certain that what John was speaking in that truth contained all these blessed realities. That Jesus was that lamb that was daily sacrificed, as it were, the fulfillment of that lamb. He was the Passover lamb, the ultimate one that would deliver his people from their sins. And he was the suffering servant that was sent to bear the sins of many. But how could the Messiah, Christ, be a lamb that would be slain? And this is something that we have to come to grips with, that the way of deliverance they did not perhaps fully comprehend. that their Messiah would be a lamb that would suffer, that their Messiah would be a lamb that would die. He would bring deliverance, but he would bring deliverance from their sins. And so this was something that perhaps they would have struggled with. But John really says here, he says, "Behold the lamb," and he says, "of God." The lambs that were sacrificed daily were taken out of the flocks of Israel, but this lamb was not taken from the flocks of Israel, as it were. He was a lamb sent from God. God had prepared him a lamb, a sacrifice for the sins of men. He was the Lamb of God, sent by God, appointed by God, approved by God. And the fact that he uses the term the Lamb of God is almost an indication, and there's an inference here to the fact that there is no other Lamb. This is the Lamb, the one of God, the one sent by God to fulfill the will of God. And this was Jesus, the Lamb of God. And all the Old Testament sacrifices, all the lambs that were slain and the animal sacrifices in the Old Testament, all pointed to this coming one, to this ultimate one, this sacrifice, the one sent from God. And so John says, "Behold the Lamb of God." And then he says, "Who takes away the sin of the world." Who takes away the sin of the world. The Bible says to us in the book of Hebrews that the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sins. But Jesus, the Lamb of God, he could deal with sin once and for all. He was the Lamb of God who came to take away sin. The one who came to deal with sin by one sacrifice for all time, that whosoever would believe on him would be saved. He was the Lamb of God, the ultimate sin bearer, the one without spot, the one without blemish, the perfect sacrifice, the one, as it were, sent by God. Behold the Lamb of God, the one who takes away, the one who bears, the one who carries, the one who had the sin of men transferred upon himself, the one who bore our sins in his own body on the cross. The Lamb of God who takes away, who removes, who doesn't just, as it were, lets it go. He deals with it. He removes it so that our sins and iniquities will be remembered no more. The Lamb of God, the one whose blood was the blood of that new covenant, which would join men and women to God from every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation. This is the Lamb of God, the promised one, the only one who was good enough. As the hymn writer says, there was no other good enough to take away our sins. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. He is the Lamb of God. Such an interesting phrase here. It says, which takes away the sin of the world. The word lamb is full of meaning to the Jewish mind. But the word world is not only inclusive of the Jews, but also of the Gentiles. And we don't understand that because we live this side of the cross and we take for granted the blessedness of the gospel that has come to our shores. But you have to understand that for the most part, the Gentiles were in darkness, and that the revelation of God, as it were, was to the Jews. And the Jews had this waiting Messiah that would come to be their savior, to be their rescuer, to be the one who would deliver them. But here John says, no, there's a Lamb of God. But he's not only a lamb for the Jews. He's a Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It is inclusive of not only of the Jews, but of all the nations. The legal sacrifices were distinctively Jewish. It was all under the Mosaic law. It was all under the old covenant. But here Jesus, by the blood of the new covenant, extends, as it were, that blessing, extends that salvation, extends that wonderful deliverance from sin to the world. In John chapter number 1 verse 10, if you want to look there in your Bibles, in John chapter number 1 verse number 10, it says, "He was in the world," this is Christ, "was in the world, and the world was made through him," or by him, "yet the world did not know him." This is what it says here. He came to his own, that is the Jewish people, but his own did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. He came unto his own, the Jewish people, but his own received him not. He was in the world amongst the Gentile people, but the world knew him not. But as many as received him, both Jew and Gentile, bond and free, servant and whatever it may be, man and woman, he says, as many as received him, he gave to them the right to become children of God, even to the ones who believe on his name. This is the wonder, this is the beauty of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He did not just redeem, as it were, the Jewish people. He was a redeemer for all men. He was a redeemer from people from every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation. And that is a truth in which we must rejoice. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, it so beautifully portrays that. Here is the Lamb of God on the throne. And here are the people that are singing a new song unto the Lamb. And they're saying, verse number 9, and they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. Why? For you were slain. And by your blood, that's the blood of the Lamb of God, you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. The servant of the Lord, the one sent by God, was the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. That Samaritan woman, as she went back and declared, this is the Messiah, this is the one. The Samaritans were the outcasts of Israel. The people that heard, they said, truly indeed, now we know that this is the Savior of the world. And John here says to the people, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And John's message is my message, and it is, behold him. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Look to him alone for salvation. The sinner's only Savior, the sin-bearing Lamb, the only one who can take away sins. We are instructed here to behold him, to look upon him, to set, as it were, our eyes to him. You say, well, I cannot see him with my physical eyes as they saw him. My friends, see him, as it were, with the eyes of faith. Behold him, look upon him who was pierced. Behold his thorn-crowned brow. Behold his wounded side. Behold his nail-pierced hands and his nail-pierced feet. Look to the Lamb of God. You who are sinful, we who are sinful, behold him. Look upon him who is the sacrifice for sinners. You who are self-righteous, who look upon the own goodness of what we have done and pat ourselves on the back thinking that we're going to go to heaven because of all the good things that we have done. Don't look at yourself, my friend. Look upon him, the one who is the righteous one, the one who can deal with sin. If we are self-centered, look to him. Our hearts full of lust, looking to the things that satisfy our flesh, my friends, look no longer to the world. Look to him. Look to the Lamb of God. Turn away from pride and deceit and behold him. See him, the only Savior for sinners. See him, the one that was slain to redeem men. See him, the one that was sent by God, approved by God. And believe on him. Trust in him. Lay your soul to rest in his all-sufficient sacrifice. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. The songwriter of Stricken, Smitten and Afflicted, in the final verse he says this, he says, here we have a firm foundation. Here the refuge of the lost. Christ the rock of our salvation. His the name of which we boast. Lamb of God for sinners wounded, sacrifice to cancel guilt. None shall ever be confounded who on him their hope is built. And if you would build your hope on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him this very day, my friend, you would know in experience the truth of having your sins forgiven, taken out of the way, your guilt cancelled. That is the joy of the world. That is the joy of mankind. No matter your background, no matter your sinful condition, no matter your home situation, your life, no matter what rut you think you may be stuck in, my friend, the problem of man is sin, and the Lamb of God has come to deal with sin. And therefore, behold him, and you will find in him salvation, deliverance. And he will rescue you as he rescued the children of Israel out of bondage into his glorious light, into the wonderful kingdom of God. And you will know peace and joy and forgiveness and hope and everlasting life. But my friend, would you this day behold him and look upon him who was wounded for the transgressions of his people? There's another song that says, not all the blood of beasts on Jewish altars slain could give the guilty conscience peace or wash away its stain. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, takes all our sins away. A sacrifice of nobler name and richer blood than they. I'm thankful for the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Let's pray. Oh, dear Father, we thank you that you have looked upon the world in pity and have sent your Son to bear the sins of many, that we might be redeemed, people from every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation. Thank you, Lord, for that lovely mercy that you have extended your reach to us. And hear the gospel, Lord, is given to us. And I pray, Lord, that men and women this day would come and worship the Lamb of God and plead his blood and find salvation only in him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.